text this evening is found in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. On a Tuesday evening, we've been going through this epistle to the Ephesians, and we've come pretty much halfway through chapter 2. And we have seen how Paul has been writing to this early church, writing to them to encourage them in their faith. And he has started off by extolling Christ and exalting him and giving him the glory that is due to his name. And we have seen that the salvation that the Ephesian believers have received, as have every other believer that they have received, is not by their works, not by their power, not by their ingenuity, but it comes by the free grace of God unto them. And we have seen concerning that the free grace of God, the riches of his mercy. And so as we come to this sixth chapter, we are in the section of this epistle that is very much more practically based. We have different aspects being looked at. In this opening verses of chapter 6, we have the responsibility of children and the way in which they should obey their parents. We have fathers being exhorted not to provoke their children to wrath. We have the situation with employers and employees. And then as we come to verse 10, we find the Apostle Paul directing his hearers to put on the whole armour of God. That in whatever circumstance they find themselves in whatever situation comes into their path, to put on that whole armour of God and to have their strength not in themselves, but in the power and the might of their Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in verses 10 through to 18, we have this illustration of a soldier, a Roman soldier. And the different parts of the equipment that the soldier would have is likened to a different part of spiritual armor and the way in which it is designed to protect particular parts. And remembering that as believers, we're not engaged in a physical battle. We are not going out to go and hurt and to cause injury to people that we come in contact with. But the battle, the fight that we are involved in, as we read in verse 12, is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And don't be under any illusion that this is some kind of non-entity. This is very real. This is very severe. And the enemy that we face cannot be defeated with the weapons of carnality. But what we have here is the Lord giving to his people, giving to his church, weapons, armor that will protect, that will defend them from the assault of the evil one. And so we have seven pieces of armor listed in these eight verses. We have that belt of truth, the loins girt about with truth. We have that breastplate of righteousness. We have feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. We have that shield of faith to lift high, pointing to the Lord. We have that helmet of salvation. We have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And we have those prayers that ascend up to God. But in verse 10, introducing this great theme of the Christian warfare, the Christian battle that we are involved in, we have in verse 10 this rallying call to the believer. And so we have Paul saying, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And so if we remember nothing else from this sermon this evening, verse 10 must be etched upon our mind and upon our heart, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. when Paul gives this finally here in verse 10, he's not informing his readers or his hearers that after 5 or 6 chapters, he is now coming to an end. But really, this is the great climax. This is a great emphasis to where this whole epistle is going, that we are not standing in our own strength, that we are not fighting in our own abilities, that we are weak by nature, and that our strength and our victory comes from Christ himself. And so this should be seen as a great anticipation of what is before us. Winston Churchill, he gave a rallying call to the nation in the Second World War. Listen to this. "I have myself full confidence that if all do their duty, if nothing is neglected, and if the best arrangements are made as they are being made, we shall prove ourselves once again able to defend our island home, to ride out the storm of war, to outlive the menace of tyranny, if necessary for years, if necessary alone. At any rate, that is what we are going to try to do. That is the resolve of His Majesty's government, every man of them. That is the will of the Parliament and the nation, the British Empire and the French Republic, linked together in their cause and in their need, will defend to the death their native soil, aiding each other like good comrades to the utmost of their strength. Even though large tracts of Europe and many old and famous states have fallen or may fall into the grip of the Gestapo and all the odious apparatus of Nazi rule, we shall not flag or fail. We shall go on to the end. We shall fight in France. We shall fight on the seas and oceans. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We will never surrender. And even if, which I do not for a moment believe, this island or large part of it was subjugated and starving, then our empire beyond the seas, armed and guarded by the British fleet, would carry on the struggle until, in God's good time, the new world with all its power and might steps forth to the rescue and the liberation of the old." And we find here that Winston Churchill gave this speech in June 4th, 1940, just after the evacuation of Dunkirk by the British Expeditionary Force. And there he is giving a rallying call to the people, to the army, to the air force, to prepare for battle, to be on their guard against all of the attacks that may come. And this great stand of, "We will not surrender." And likewise, we have Paul here in a far greater way, giving a rallying call to the Lord's people to prepare themselves for battle, to have their hearts strengthened, and to have great confidence in the fight that is before every believer. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." And so Paul encourages his hearers that whatever may come, whoever may attack, and however these attacks should come, they are to have their strength in the Lord Jesus Christ, and by having it in him, they will be victorious. They will triumph, and they will stand in that evil day. When we think about the great captain of our salvation, Christ himself, all power, all authority is given unto him. And as we think about our Christian walk, as we think about the pilgrimage that the believer has in this world, it is one of difficulty. It is one of hardship. It is one of great peril. And we need one that will go for us. We need one that will stand for us. We need one that will fight for us. And we have promised here the power and might of the Saviour. And as we think about Christ, he is indeed able and equipped to help. He is the one that has overcome sin, Satan, and the world. Through his life, he showed perfect obedience to the law and command of God. On the cross, he took our sin. He endured the punishment of it. And we find that because of what he has done, it means that sinners are set free and liberated. He endured the justice of God. And by being raised from the dead, he conquered that last great enemy, death and the grave. And so what a strength we have. What a confidence we can have in this world that he who is for us is greater than he who is against us. And when we think about all that life can throw, our Savior is all-powerful, mighty, strong, righteous, unchanging, and everlasting. So let us come to this text. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. There are five areas that I want us to consider in relation to being strong in the Lord and trusting the power of his might. Firstly, in salvation. This whole Ephesian epistle has been dealing in the first part with our salvation, where it is rooted, the purpose of it, what happens to us, what God is doing in and through us by the power of Christ. And so we see very clearly that our salvation is entirely dependent upon the work of God and upon the salvation that Christ brings at Calvary. And if we remind ourselves of those words in chapter 2 and verse 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So as we think about our salvation, if we are going to stand, if we are going to be victorious in this life, it is because of the strength of the Savior in our salvation. And there is nothing that we have done to earn, merit, or justify our eternal security with God. And as we think about our initial salvation, when we think about our rebellion, when we think about our enmity to God, when we think about how we have smashed God's law at the foot of Sinai, as it were, we have defied his purposes, we have refused to worship him as we ought. Even the good things that we do are detestable in his sight. Undone, corrupt, full of sin, no soundness to us whatsoever. Oh, when we think about the salvation that we have, oh, we thank God that it was because of the strength of our Savior. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Oh, in our salvation, it is because of what he has done. It is because of his work. It is because of his grace. And if we are standing without him, then we are unable to stand whatsoever. But in Christ, we can stand because of the power and the ability of his might. Our salvation is not only in the past, but we also think about the way in which we are being saved. We are saved in the past at that point of regeneration and the legal pronouncement of justification. But it's also true to say that we are being saved. We are being sanctified. We're being prepared for glory. It doesn't mean that we can have salvation and lose salvation. But if we are Christ's, then we are his for eternity. And so there is that period where we are, as it were, being saved. It doesn't mean that we ever reach perfection this side of the grave. But in this life, how we need continual deliverances. How we need continual workings of grace in our heart. How we need the old nature to be dealt with and to be brought under submission and control. This requires the strength of the Lord, the power of his might. When we think about the future, that day when that full redemption shall be seen, when we enter glory, as we pass through death, or the Lord returns to bring us to himself. Or we need that strength of the Lord, that power of his might, to carry us through, to help and to quell our fears, and to remind us and to flood our souls with the grace that he has done for us, and the way in which he will present us faultless before his throne. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And so our salvation begins in the strength of God. Our salvation continues in his strength. And our salvation will be completed in and only in the strength of the Lord. And so Paul says, be strong in the Lord. Another area where we need to be strong in the Lord is in sufferings. Sufferings for the believer is a normal pattern of things. It's not an unusual thing for a believer, a Christian, to go through dark and difficult times. If we were to go through this room here this evening, we could all testify to bitter experiences that we have had to go through that have come after we were converted, after we were saved. And here we have a Savior that in times of suffering is our strength. We read from Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. And there are times when we will go through dark paths. There are times when we will feel the assaults of the evil one. There are times when the world will come in like a flood. There are times when we will go through painful experiences. And yet, in those times, as in all times, we must be those that are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. When we think about pain, that can come to us at times. Physical pain caused by injury or ill health can cause great times of agony and suffering. And how we need that power of Christ to sustain us, to endure. We know that we have the power of the Lord, that he is able to heal if he so desires. But sometimes for our benefit and for our good, that prayer is not always answered. Paul himself could testify how that with a thorn in his flesh, he prayed 3 times that the Lord might remove it from him. But then he concluded that the Lord's grace was sufficient for him. And it can be difficult in these times to trust in God. But here we have this exhortation, be strong in the Lord. Don't be strong in yourself. Don't be strong in your ability to cope with the situation. Be strong in the Lord. Pain is not always physical. We know this. It can come emotionally. It can come psychologically. Emotional pain, emotional anguish can cause a soul to be very hard-pressed. Times of depression, it can be easy to look within and to wallow in despair. Situations can be insurmountable. Regrets and griefs over mistakes and sins that we have done can well up and rise up against us. What are we to do? Be strong in the Lord. Look to him. Look to him who has done these things, who has endured such contradiction of sinners. Remember Job, how he lost everything, deep in grief and torment of the heart. He could say, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. How is it he said it? Did he not understand what had happened to him? Was he just oblivious to the trial that he has just gone through? No, his confidence was in his God, that he was sovereign, that he was almighty, and that his ways were perfect, and his will would never be thwarted. When we go through suffering, we may have pain. We may find ourselves losing out on possessions, a loss of a job, or some dear thing that we have is suddenly taken from us. Do we find ourselves robbed of joy, in despair, in great anxiety? Do we feel like Peter when those waves of turmoil are crashing round about us, when he's trying to walk on those waters? Or even when these things happen, we are to be those that cast our care upon him, for he careth for us. The Lord has promised to supply our needs. He is the one that has come, and he is able to do anything. His power is unlimited, and so we can be strong in him. The same God that provided manna in the wilderness, the same one that provides that table in the desert place, that one that provided food for the 5,000, he is the God that careth for us. Therefore, we can be strong in the Lord. Another area in this subject concerning sufferings is persecution. Oh, we live in great freedoms in our land. How long that will last is unclear. But we may be persecuted for our faith. We may be passed over for promotion because of our stand for the Lord. We may be those that have to endure difficulties for the sake of the gospel. We can be strong in the Lord. Think about Stephen facing that mob at his trial. How his face shone like that angel. Just been reading a few chapters from Fair Sunshine by Jock Purvis, dealing with the Covenanters. There he details the way in which they experienced martyrdom because of their faith in Christ, because of their determination not to yield to the civil powers of the day, because of the influences that are being made upon their beliefs and upon the Christian faith. And as you read what was done to them, as you read as to how they were treated and how their families were treated, it causes you to weep. But then you see their faith, you see their strength, and you see that they are being sustained by the Lord. One man was being hounded and he was eventually caught because he was a Covenanter. And he had his head cut off. Gruesome, horrific. Placed in a bag. The soldiers rode into Edinburgh and they started kicking the head down the streets. Awful things happening. And then the soldier that did this, the captain, he was bragging to the widow of the woman the husband that had just died. And saying, look at your fine husband now. Yet, that man, as he faced death, oh, he could smile. And he could look forward that very shortly he would be with his Saviour. How was this the case? Because he was strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And so as we think about sufferings, in whatever form they may come, we are to be those that take heed to this exhortation. We may find ourselves in sin. We sin too easily. We find ourselves breaking the commands of God so frequently, yielding to temptations, being overcome by these things. How do we respond in such a situation? Well, if we start looking within, that will cause us to sorrow and to be filled with grief. But we are to be those that look up and look to the Lord. The Apostle Paul, he would detail this in Romans chapter 7, verse 17. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? That's the question. How can we be delivered when we find ourselves falling into sin? How is it that we can rise? Paul doesn't finish there in verse 25. He says this, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so that with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And so Paul there, even when he found himself falling into sin, he wasn't trying to find strength within. He wasn't trying to find strength from others. But his strength was in the Lord. When we find ourselves coming against temptations, we perhaps wonder how we can stand. Perhaps, do we have the ability to stand? We know that the Lord Jesus Christ, he endured temptations that were common to men. He overcame them. He didn't resist. He didn't submit to them. And so as we look to our Savior, we have one that has that power, the one that has that ability, one that has promised never to leave nor forsake. When James would exhort his hearers, he would say this, submit to God and resist the devil. And only by trusting and looking to Christ and his finished work that we can know that overcoming. The strength that we have in the Lord will sustain and it will equip. But even when we do fall into sin, we have an advocate with the Father, even Jesus Christ the righteous. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And so, even in sin, here we have this exhortation, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Another area that we need to know the strength of the Lord is in our service. We are called to be those that serve the Lord. We are dedicated now to making his gospel known. We are now no longer the slaves of sin, but we are now the servants of Jesus Christ. And we can find ourselves becoming distracted, not being effective, not filled with zeal as we ought. We can perhaps approach the great task, the great commission that is before us with carnal eyes and say, well, it's impossible. How is it that these people will hear? Nobody will respond. We don't have the resources to do this, that, or the other. We cannot change men and women by the way in which we put words. We cannot convince people through our lives that we live. But yet the Lord has exhorted us to be those that take his word and preach his words, those that live lives that are holy to him. And so we need the help of God. We need the strength of the Lord in these situations. And this is the same for individuals as it is for a corporate body of believers. We need the Lord amongst us. If we want to see this church grow, if we want to see the Great Commission being fulfilled in our day, it is not through our ingenuity. It is not through any kind of engineering on our part to convince people. We need the Lord, dependent entirely upon his power and upon his might. And there is nothing impossible to him. There is no situation that is beyond his ability. There is no heart that is just too stubborn for his grace. There is no community that is too entrenched in sin. And so as we look out and as we serve the Lord, we must do so not in our abilities, not in our wisdom, but in the strength and the might of our Saviour. The final area that we need to be strong in the Lord in is when we are strong. That may sound strange, but perhaps the greatest time when we are most vulnerable to attack and in most need of help and strength from God is when we feel or when we think that we are strong. And these can come at times when we go through a time of great blessing. We can be built up in our faith. We can know that great encouragement of the Lord. We can have those mountaintop experiences. And how many times can we look back over our lives when we've had such blessings? We have known such favor of God. We have known such highlights in our Christian walk. How quickly following have we found ourselves in the dust and in the mire again? Perhaps at times of anniversary, have a visiting preacher come, and we sit here on a Saturday and then sit here on the Lord's Day. And the ministry thrills our hearts. We feel that we are so encouraged, we are so blessed. And then perhaps Monday, if we even get to Monday, suddenly something happens and we all come crashing down. What has happened? Well, sometimes we are trusting in our own strength. We are reliant upon past blessing rather than this continued dependence upon Christ, dependence upon the Lord for his power and for his might. Think about Elijah on Mount Carmel. That great victory that he had was followed by such depression and such torment of his heart as he was reduced to somebody that was fearing for his life. And in these times when we have great triumphs, great victories, these are the times that we must depend upon Christ all the more. In 1 Corinthians 10, we are reminded, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And at times of material blessing, be on our guard against pride and arrogance, that we are anything because of what we have done or achieved. 1 Peter chapter 5 says this, likewise ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. And how we need this power and this strength of the Lord, day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, second by second. And if we are those that are standing in his strength and in his power alone, then we'll know that victory. Then we will know that great blessing. In a natural sense, an army is only as strong as the soldiers in that army. But in a spiritual sense, that doesn't work. In a spiritual sense, the strength of the army comes entirely from the captain of our salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in whatever situation we find ourselves in, whatever condition we are called to go through, the rallying call for the Christian is this: finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. But it's true for individuals, that must be true for this church here, and every church of Jesus Christ, not to be strong in themselves, but in the Lord and the power of his might. May we be those that realize our weakness, realize our failings, but rejoice in the triumph, the victory, the power, the might, and the glory of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.